Hey, everybody. I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic, and thanks for coming. It's a privilege to present in this room where I got sober long, long time ago. So first bit of business here is, as I'd like to say, a little house cleaning. I read something, and I heard it the way I wanted to hear it, but it's not the way it really is. So what I told you guys was that I thought Ann Smith, Dr. Bob's wife, had written the chapter Two Wives. But upon further research, I see here it says, it allows me to, I have to admit I'm wrong, but I get to read one of my favorite books, Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you want to, even if you're here 30 years, if you want to change your AA, you know, if you want to enrich, broaden, just have unbelievable gratitude for how lucky we are to be here, this is almost as important as the big book, as is this other one, Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age. These books talk about, you know, who these people were, what they did, to get this going for us, you know. And we have AA, like I say, after this meeting, you can crawl to the next meeting. It's 100 yards down the road, you know. Mm-hmm. These people didn't have that, you know. They did not have that. When this book came out that we're going to read out of in a minute, there was no AA. You got it mailed to you, and you read it yourself, by yourself, nobody to interpret, and you had to try to make it work, you know. So we're so lucky. But it says here in the Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, in the same letter, Bill suggested that Ann have a chapter in the book herself. My feeling, said Bill, is that Ann should do the one portraying the wife. But obviously Ann was not an alcoholic, because her modesty and her inclination towards staying in the background, none of us stay in the background, may have been the reason she did not write it. Lois did not write it either. She wasn't asked. When she suggested that she do so, Bill said, oh no, it should be written in the same style as the book. Recently, Lois said, I've always been hurt by it, and I still don't know why Bill didn't ask me, although I never brought it up again. Now, my wife's been in the program 26 years, and let me tell you one thing, she would bring it up again. So Bill, those guys had good wives, that's all I can tell you. But I, you know, the only thing I can really bring to you guys, if I don't say anything intelligent for 12 weeks, is read these books. These will change everything for you. They did me. It just made me work so much harder on AA. And the harder we work, the better we get, you know, is really how it works. So we were, yeah, that'd be right. No, I must have read with somebody else.
Page eight,
exactly. So when you read Bill's story, the first eight pages are what it was like. When we go out and speak, as so many of us seem to love to do, your story should be what it was like, what happened, and most importantly, what it's like now. A message of hope, a message of peace, a message of love, a message of, you know. And we're good at what it was like, but we need to really work on, you know, what happened and what it's like now. So for Bill, this is what happened. It says, my musings were interrupted by the telephone. So the phone rings, and this is one of, for us people in this room, this is one of the most important phone calls ever made. It was Ebby Thatcher calling his old friend, who he hadn't seen in years, Bill Wilson. The cheery voice of an old school friend asked if he might come over. And so, you know, my thing is, the theme of my thing is helping others and sponsorship. You know, when I read the book with guys, I just sit down and explain, we're going to read the book. Really all this is sponsorship coaching. We're going to go through all the steps and all that, but I really want, I insist that you in turn work with others. And so I try to take this as sponsorship coaching. So you know, Ebby calls him up and asks if he might come over. And, you know, this is before a lot of knowledge that we have now. So Bill opens the door. He was sober. It was years since I could remember him coming to New York in that condition. So Bill hasn't seen this guy in years. I just finished a book on Ebby Thatcher, and I left it on the airplane. So it's gone. The other thing, too, good for me is when people lend me books, because then I read them much quicker. If I have my own books, I'd put them down, pick them up. But this one, this was a great book. And Ebby Thatcher, I'll talk a little bit more about him as we go. But he brought the message to Bill, and he did not stay sober. And it's a terrible, terrible, sad story. Mm-hmm. It was years since I could remember him coming to New York in that condition. I was amazed. So you really want to... You know, the one thing is important is, who is your Ebby Thatcher? You know, do you have an Ebby Thatcher in your life? Do you have somebody who brought AA to you, who said, hey, either you need AA or I went to AA and it helped me, maybe it'll help you. You know, I know the guy who helped me was my roommate. I talked a little bit about him. He was the oddest guy you'll ever meet. In fact, I spoke out at, where's Rich? I went out and I spoke for Ron out in Doylestown. That's where he's from. You know, so I said to Ron, you know, I said, do you know my friend Justin, you know? And he's like, yeah, come on, he's got 30-something years. He goes, oh, you mean Thomas Edison. No, not, what's the other, the guy who flew the kite? Benjamin Franklin. Yeah. That's who he looks like, you know, the hair and all that. And he's his, and then after all that, I told him I was coming. He didn't show up, you know. But he was, you know, no matter how nutty he is, he was my, he brought AA to me. And it took me a long time to get it, but he was the guy. I was amazed. Rumor had it that he had been committed for alcoholic insanity. And again, that's what they used to do to us. We got committed for what they called alcoholic insanity. It wasn't yoga and acupuncture at Serenity at Summit, you know. It wasn't coloring books. It didn't hit you with Narcan and then throw you into a yoga class, you know. You got locked up, and you stayed there until the person who locked you up said you're okay to come out, you know. And again, I take that for granted. I wonder how he had escaped. Of course, we would have dinner, and then I could drink openly with him, unmindful of his welfare. That's a good alcoholic. I thought only of recapturing the spirit of other days. And this was always something I didn't understand until I read the Ebby Thatcher book. There was that time we had chartered an airplane to complete a JAG. Hmm. What is that, you know? What it was Ebby's grandfather was the, and his family, but his father, and maybe his grandfather, his family were the mayor of Albany. His family was big in Albany, and they had a house in East Dorset, Vermont, where Bill was, and they were really, really drunk in Albany. And they wanted to get to East Dorset to get that. It wasn't far, but by car back then it took a couple days. And the airplane was new. So they found, they were drinking, I think, with a pilot. I think he was drinking too. And the three of them took a plane and landed it in East Dorset, Vermont. And no one in East Dorset had ever seen a plane. You know, so it was a big deal. And maybe that's why he puts it in. Other than that, it sounds a little stupid. His coming was an oasis in the dreary desert of futility, the very thing, an oasis. Drinkers are like that. So the door opened, and he stood there, fresh-skinned and glowing. There was something about his eyes. He was inexplicably different. What had happened? And, you know, that's interesting if you're new and you get help by someone you drank with, who has actually changed and you can see the change. That's very helpful. I, you know, there's not enough of that today, but anyway, that Bill noticed a big difference in Ebby. I pushed a drink across the table. He refused it. Disappointed but curious, I wondered what got into the old fella. He wasn't himself. What's this all about, I queried. And he looked me straight in the eye, simply but smiling, he said, I've got religion. Mm. All right? So that wouldn't have worked for me. You know, I'll speak for me, but I got religion, you know, and it was the Oxford group, and there was, again, no AA, but that as Bill says, I was aghast. So that was it. Last summer, an alcoholic crackpot. Now I suspected a little cracked about religion, and we're all kind of have a little judgment about religion. He had that starry-eyed look. Yes, the old boy was on fire, all right. And that's a term we hear a lot with newcomers who are getting it. He's on fire. He's on fire. So, anyway. But bless his heart, let him rant. Besides, my gin would last longer than his preaching. But he did know ranting. And that, you know, that in my experience I find interesting because I know I was a ranter and I probably still am, you know. I mean, right? When we first get, you know, whatever you want to call it, the spiritual awakening or the light bulb goes off, you know. As my sponsor said right in this room, he said, if you're not sure you've had a spiritual awakening, you haven't. And I was aghast, as Bill would say, when he said that in public. But I expanded on a little bit because when you've had it, it's so wonderful. You want everybody else to have it. It's so wonderful. You want to share it with everybody. You know, you want everybody to feel whatever the feeling is. But it's, you know, and we all get a little evangelical. You know, we all really, we get a little kooky when we first get it, you know. And you see that, and then hopefully we temper it down. But it's all well-meaning, you know. It's just that we want to share the blessing that has been given to us. He had that sort of, like, God bless his heart, let him rant. And, you know, so I try not to rant. Besides, my gin would last longer than his preaching. But he did know ranting. In a matter-of-fact way, he told me how two men had appeared in court persuading the judge to suspend his commitment. And that's what the Oxford Group people had to do. We didn't get to, if you want to sponsor somebody, just go around and sit in the back of AA meetings and say something halfway intelligent, you know. Somebody will ask you for help if you talk about God, the steps, and, you know, the things that saved us. You know, these guys had to go. This was, the two guys were Roland Hazard, and I believe it's Sebring Graves, and they would, from the Oxford Group, they would go out to the courthouses, to the hospitals, to the asylums, to the doctor's offices, looking for people with drinking problems. And they went to the courthouse one day when Ebbie Thatcher was being committed to the asylum for alcoholic insanity, and they went to the judge beforehand and said, and actually Sebring Graves was the judge's uncle or nephew or something like that, and said, could you turn her, instead of sending them to this asylum, can you give the Ebbie Thatcher to us? You've seen me get better through this Oxford group, and it's important for us to help other people. And so that was a big part of the miracle of AA. The judge said, yeah, take him, you know. And so they took Ebbie, and Ebbie started going to the Oxford group with these two other guys, kind of like some of these guys in the back row. We got them out of this asylum, and we bring them here, you know. The judge suspended his commitment. They had told of a simple religious idea and a practical program of action. This is really important. That was 2 months ago, and the result was self-evident. It worked. So Ebbie Thatcher had 2 months when he went to see Bill Wilson, you know, and 2 months when he was out calling on people, trying to save them, you know, and, you know, and Bill Wilson had 2 years when he started writing the big book. You know, you hear all these genius slogans you hear in AA, oh, it takes you 5 years to get your brain out of hock and all that stuff. You know, that's just not true. That stuff comes out of the rehabs and detoxes. It's all, you know, 90-90 and don't drink and go to meetings and all that. That's all well-meaning, but it's not in the big book. And so Ebbie Thatcher, when he called on Bill Wilson, he had 2 months. So, you know, I encourage, you know, have the courage like Ebbie had to go out and help somebody else if you can. That was 2 months ago, and the result was self-evident. It worked. He had come to pass his experience, his 2 months' worth of experience, along to me if I cared to have it. I was shocked but interested. Certainly I was interested. I had to be, for I was hopeless. So is that a word you use when you came into AA? You know, were you hopeless? I'm not sure I felt I was hopeless, but Bill knew, and we've read the first, you know, 8 pages, it is hopeless, you know, but we come in and out of AA and in and out of these nice detoxes they'll send you to and insurance will pay for, and, you know, I'm not sure how much help it is, but. Anyway, I was hopeless. He talked for hours. Childhood memories rose before me. I could almost hear the sound of the preacher's voice as I sat on still Sundays way over there on the hillside. There was that proffered temperance pledge I never signed. So back in this day, and this is something I just read in that book I talked to you about called Slaying the Dragon, the Washingtonians, which was a big movement before the Oxford Group in the 1800s, and the gist of the Oxford Group was you'd go to a meeting and they grew so quick. It took these guys years and years and years to get to, you know, 100 people. It took them a couple of years to get to 100. The Oxford Group grew to like 250,000 in less than 5 years. The Oxford Group, you would go to a meeting and saying, I want to stop drinking, and you would, and there'd be hundreds of people there, and you would sign a temperance pledge, and everybody would cheer like crazy. Clap and cheer and clap. And that was, there was no program after that, you know. It was everyone cheered for you, and you signed something, and that was your commitment. You know, that was your commitment. Now, Dr. Bob he talks in this book, and if you read it, please. He's not a big guy. He didn't think we should clap for alcoholics. But as my good friend George used to say, you know, here in AA, we clap like trained seals, you know. We clap for everything, you know. But that was a bit, you know, it worked for the Washingtonians, so maybe it'll work here, you know. I remember when I had 90 days in this room right here, right about here. My last 90 day was right here. And I said, Dave, coming back again, working on 90. And they would just say, hi, Dave. No, they wouldn't clap.
Oh, no.
I'd still be coming back for 90. If you guys were clapping for me that whole time, I'd still be working on 90. If you clap for me, I'll do anything it takes. But anyway, so that was the gist behind the Washingtonians. They failed because they got involved in politics. A lot of the traditions are based on what the Washingtonians did that failed, and so we don't fail. I never signed. My grandfather's good natured contempt for some church folk and their doings, his insistence that the spheres really had their music, but his denial of the preacher's right to tell him how he must listen, his fearlessness as he spoke of things just before he died. These recollections welled up from the past and made me swallow hard. So Bill's thinking about religion, and here we go again. That wartime day in Old Winchester Cathedral came back again. That was the moment that Bill saw God, then he wandered outside to the tombstone, and then he went off to war and never thought about God again, or for a long time. I had always believed in a power greater than myself. I had often pondered these things. I was not an atheist. Few people really are. For that means blind faith in the strange proposition that this universe originated in a cipher and aimlessly rushes nowhere. My intellectual heroes, the chemist, the astronomer, even the evolutionist, suggested vast laws and forces at work. Despite my contrary indications, I had little doubt that a mighty purpose and rhythm underlay all. I'm kind of laughing as I read this. There's a newcomer, reminds me much of myself. I'll preface it this way. And he comes in, and ever since he's had 10 days, he's been sharing to the newcomers how it works. I won't use his name, but he has an Irish voice. And then he likes talking to the newcomer women, I guess with less than 10 days. But anyways, something happened, and it wasn't good. And we all make mistakes. But I went to a meeting the other night. I tried to prove myself I was sober. I said, I'm going to go to a meeting nobody knows me. Where no one, I don't know anybody. I look in the book. I find one in Chatham. I pull in the back of this church. And there's a lot of cars, so I thought, good, good, good. I see him, but I see a lot of cars. And it'll be safe. I'll sit on the other side of the room. I go in this meeting, and there's a table about this big. And there's three lovely people in their 80s, very lovely, me and this fellow. And it's a big book meeting, so we read the big book, and we share. And somehow he gets, when it comes to him, he says, Bill Wilson was really a son of a bitch. He writes like Shakespeare, he thinks he's Shakespeare, he writes in Shakespearean terms, blah, blah, blah. As we all know, Bill was a man of science. He was a scientific man. He's going on and on. I'm thinking to myself, this is where he got it, this chemist and all this here. This is, I guess, where he got it. Because he's going on and on. And when I came to AA, you people gave me a lot of rules. And one of them was I can't talk to the girls. And I disagree with that rule. Now, I had everything ready to jump over the table, you know, and say, listen, you son of a bitch, you took a young girl at Patterson and blah, 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 and blah, 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 you know, and now she's in a funny farm and, you know. But now these other three lovely people would have a heart attack. They don't know me. They don't know him. They don't know anything, you know. So as soberly as I could, I got up, put $5 in the basket, and just said, excuse me, I apologize, I need to excuse myself. And I walked out. But now I know where it's the scientist thing came from. I'm guessing, because I'm like, what is he talking about? With the minister and the world's religions, I parted right there. When they talked of God personal to me, whose love, who was love, superhuman strength, and direction, I became irritated in my mind, snapshot against such a theory. To Christ I conceded the certainty of a great man not too closely followed by those who claimed him, his moral teaching most excellent. For myself, I had, this is how I treated AA, for myself, I had adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult, but the rest I discarded. You know, that's why I had 11 90-day pins. The wars which had been fought, the burnings and chicanery that religious dispute had facilitated made me sick. So I felt that way too. It took me a long time to understand. There's God's will and there's man's will. There's God's will and there's my will, you know. But, yeah, because I said, yeah, all these wars, all these people have been killed in the name of God. How, this makes no sense. That had nothing to do with God. That was man's will at work, you know, nothing to do with God. I honestly doubted whether, on balance, religions of mankind had done any good, and I have felt that way. Judging from what I had seen in Europe and since, the power of God in human affairs was negligible. The brotherhood of man, a grim jest. If there was a devil, he seemed boss universal, and he certainly had me. So one thing I'll say about sponsorship, if you're as closed-minded as me, or I'll put it on myself, is everybody has trouble with God. I've never had anybody, when I say, how are you with God? You know, no one said, I'm great with God, and this is tremendous, that God's the answer to all my problems here. I'm done, you know. I've never had that. And especially in the Catholic religion, you know, I see that a lot. And that really made me mad for a long time. I had a resentment against the Catholic Church that, why did they do this to all these people that make upset them so much, you know, with all these rules and putting ashes on your forehead and all these other things you had to do. Because it's, those seem to be the people who were the hardest to bring to God, and everybody's hard to bring to God. But I was really wrong about that. The Catholic religion, and all religions, have been comforting and saved and brought peace and, you know, to millions and millions and millions and millions of people. You know, they really have. I guess I just happened to run into the ones, you know, in AA, probably the percentages are higher. So that's my experience. It has nothing to do with the Catholic Church. None of us love God so much when we get here, but that's the sole purpose of going through the steps and sponsorship is bringing somebody. If you can bring someone, the greatest gift you can give someone is the gift of God, an undeniable God in their life, is my opinion. Anyway, but my friend sat before me. He made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. And that is extremely true in my life. It took me about 5 years to realize it. I really thought because I had done a 90-90 and I had made coffee and I had cleaned ashtrays and I had read the big book and gone through the steps in a semi-half-assed way, the best I could anyway, but you know, it's been better as I've gone along. I thought that I had gotten myself sober because I was willing, you know, but I really, it hit me one day that I you know, it wasn't me. God did it for me. His human will had failed. Doctors had pronounced him incurable. Society was about to lock him up. But like myself, he admitted, and this is important when you're working with somebody and reading this, he had admitted complete defeat, and that's tough for us, right? Then he had, in effect, been raised from the dead, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he had ever known, right? And that's not really a promise, but it is a promise, you know. And later on it says the best years of our lives lie before us, you know. But, you know, it is. If you come in here and do what we do, you are raised from the scrap heap and you are given a life better than the best you've ever known. Had the power originated in him, obviously it had not. There had been no more power in him than there was in me at that moment, and that was none at all. That floored me. It began to look as though religious people were right after all. Here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. And so he says here, my ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Never mind the musty past. Here sat a miracle directly across the kitchen table. He shouted great tidings. So that's the thing. He knew Ebbie Thatcher. You know, I work with a lot of guys. They don't know how I drank. I've been around a long time, and I don't look like maybe I do. But hopefully I don't look like the loser, let's not use that word. I'm glad my wife refuses to come. She always, I'm glad I drank a lot and did a lot of drugs, that's all I'll tell you, you know, and I didn't look good. And, but nowadays, when I sponsor guys, you know, I just don't fit the bill of somebody that, you know, luckily they buy into what I tell them. And the other thing, too, is I will say this with the church thing. This is my church here, and the only message I ever heard upstairs was, you're not giving enough money. Oh. You know, that's the Presbyterian thing from what I heard, you know. And it's funny with the, I go to church functions, and when I talk to the minister, I guess it is, he says, why don't you come to the church? And I said, I can't thank you enough for how generous you are with your space downstairs. And I would argue that more lives are saved in the basement than upstairs, you know. And I'm sticking with that. I saw that my friend, and this is good, and this is what recovery is. I saw that my friend was much more than inwardly reorganized. He was on different footing, and his roots grasp new soil. So, you know, in life, and not just for us alcoholics and other categories, you know, life is an outward journey. You know, life is really we're born, we start going to school, we need to have that bicycle, we need to get good grades, we need to, you know, whatever, get that girlfriend or get married or get a car, or get a house, get a job. We're always trying to attain outside things, and they cause us problems, you know. Recovery is an inward journey. It's we have to go within, you know, and we have to seek and look and under, you know, we have to go inside, and that's where we find peace. We don't find peace, and we go from being takers to givers, you know. But our journey is within in recovery. We have to really get to know who we are. You know, that's what my sponsor said to me. He said, "How do you say it?" It really confused me. He said, "What we're going to do here is we're going to introduce you to Dave Hall, you know, or eventually you're going to be introduced to Dave Hall. And that's me, you know." And I said, "What are you talking? You know, what do you mean?" But I get what he means now. You know, we get to know who we are here. It's not pretty, but once we get to know who we are, that's when we're willing to change it. Despite the living example of my friend, there remained in me the old vestiges of my old prejudice. The word God still aroused a certain antipathy. When the thought was expressed that there might be a God personal to me, this feeling was intensified. I didn't like the idea. I could go for such conceptions as creative intelligence, universal mind, or spirit of nature, but I resisted the thought of a czar of the heavens who, however loving his sway might be. I have since talked to scores of men who felt the same way, and that is, in sponsorship, a big challenge, is how to politely and gently and convincingly, but thoroughly, bring someone to God. Because, again, that's the greatest gift we can give each other. My friend suggested, and this is a very abbreviated version of what really happened here. You know, if you read some of these books and other books, what happened here, this is a very polite version of it. My friend suggested that then seemed a novel idea. He said, "Why don't you choose your own conception of God?" Because Bill's drunk off his ass, you know, while Ebby's talking to him. He's drinking gin, you know, and it's prohibition. It's bathtub gin, you know. So so he's really drunk and belligerent, right? How belligerent are when we try to talk to drunks, right? And so you're trying to talk to a drunk about God. You can imagine how that's going, you know. And so, you know, I've heard it was, you know, more to the tune of, "Bill, go F yourself. Why don't you choose your own conception of God?" You know, he was just fed up and just trying to make Bill go away. He said, "Choose your own conception of God." But that statement hit me hard. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived and shivered many years. That's a great description, right? I know that was true for me. And I didn't know it. You know, I just wasn't focused on God. But it said here, "I stood in the sunlight at last." And that's what we have to do. We have to be willing to stand in the sunlight. We have to understand that we're not the sun, you know, but we do need to be in the sunlight to let God do what God does for us, you know. In italics, it says, "It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. I saw that growth could start from that point. Upon a foundation of complete willingness," underline complete, "I might build what I saw in my friend. Would I have it? Of course I would." Thus I was convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want him enough. At long last, I felt, I believed. Scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes, and a new world came into view. And Bill really did. Took me years, man. That really took me years. And it's a never-ending process. But that's really what we're trying to do. We need the scales of pride and prejudice to fall from our eyes, and we need a new world. That's what recovery, it's a big part of recovery. We see everything differently, everybody differently, and everything differently, and it's wonderful, you know, when it starts to happen. The real significance, here we are again, the real significance of my experience in the cathedral burst upon me. So in the cathedral, for a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God. And he did, but then again, he walked outside and went to war. There had been a humble willingness to have him with me, and he came. But soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly within myself. And that's true. Bill went to war, and he probably saw some horrific things, but our worldly, our clamors, whatever they may be, are usually self-imposed and within ourselves, you know. And that's, you know, that's a big gift I got from my sponsor, where he just said, you know, you are responsible for everything. Everything has been caused by you. The big thing that helped me, and I'm jumping ahead here, but when we did our fourth step, and we got to the fourth column, and, you know, I said, hey, this is what my part is in it. And he said, no. There's no parts. He said, where were you at fault? Because if we have parts, if it's my part, I'm always going to have your part, and I'll still be a victim. He said, there's no freedom in victimization, I think is how he put it. And that helped me, because I was a victim. You know, I saw myself as a victim. Worldly clamors mostly, and so it had been ever since. How blind I had been, and that's a gift to, when you can see how blind you really were. And so at the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. Thank God. Treatment seemed wise, for I showed signs of delirium tremens. This is good, and with the help of Abby Thatcher. There, I humbly offered myself to God. So, you know, I think about this a lot. Bill Wilson, and we read, in the, you know, and again, there's no AA, if I was Barefoot Bill, I'd say, Jason, get off your cell phone.
oh, my God.
So, you know, Bill was pretty beat up, and there was no AA, you know. So this all happened for, you know, it took me for, I had to hem and haw on all this stuff. But here it says, you know, Bill said, you know, I was separated from hospital, and I'm in the hospital. There I humbly offered myself to God, as I then understood him, to do with me as he would. All right, we've heard that one before. I placed myself unreservedly under his care. Each word is so important. I don't know if they revised Bill's story. I know all the other chapters they revised, and each word was really painfully dissected. But unreservedly under his care and direction, I admitted for the first time that of myself, I was nothing. And that's coming from Bill Wilson. That without him, I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins, and he had a lot of them, and became willing to have my newfound friend, capital F, so that's God, take them away, root and branch. I have not had a drink since. And so that really is a spiritual experience versus a spiritual awakening. So my schoolmate visited me, and that's what they did. They came back and visited us in the hospital. That was an Oxford group thing. And I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies, a fifth step. We made a list of people who I had hurt, whom I felt resentment, and I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong. Never was I to be critical of them. And that's tough, for, at least for me. I was to set all such matters to the utmost of... I was to write all such matters to the utmost... Again, the utmost of my ability. steps 8 and 9. So, you know, these are the tenets of the Oxford group. And again, there, I think it's on page 263. So that's, you know, that Ebby is guiding Bill. Bill's going through it. So anyway, so now I was to test my thinking of by the new God consciousness within. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense. I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. So, you know, the way I, when my way of saying this is just in any given situation, what would God do? You know, when we're talking, when I'm talking with guys and we're talking about, it's always, what would God do? If you address every situation, I'm going to a meeting tonight or I'm going to hit golf balls, you know, what would God do? God would go to the meeting, you know, whatever their decision is. You know, am I going to sit here and eat chocolate chip cookies and watch, you know, Billions, or am I going to, you know, call someone who I know's, you know, whatever, hurting? You know, we'll talk about self-sacrifice later. But if you approach everything with what would God do in this situation, you'll probably do a lot better. Never was I to pray for myself except as my request bore on my usefulness to others, and that's pretty counterintuitive for us. Then only might I expect to receive, and that would be in great measure. So I read that two ways. Never was I to pray for myself except as my request bore on my usefulness to others. So when I pray in the morning, it's always, God, please take away my judgment, my arrogance, my tolerance. You know, take away all these so I may better serve you, you know. But if we do that, it says, then only might we expect to receive. And so you might expect to receive God's, you may hear God if you pray that way. You may hear what God thinks is best for you. But I know you also receive, if you're always thinking of others, it's just simple. The more you give, the more you get. That's a big promise. The more you give in this program, the more you get. And it's not what you're thinking, but it's far better than what you're thinking. You know, what you get when you give is wonderful. Is really wonderful, and but it's not what you're thinking. And that would be in great measure. My friend promised, when these things were done, I would enter upon a new relationship with my Creator, that I would have the elements of a way of living which answered all my problems. Mm-hmm. And that, I think I've said, is you know, this guy Ray O'Keefe. Anybody know who Ray O'Keefe is? Mm-mm. Nobody? Really? He's this old lawyer from New York with a Brooklyn accent. He's great. And I listened to his tapes. He was a big speaker 20 years ago. And he said, the answer to all my problems, it's better in the Brooklyn accent, is further spiritual development. You know, the answer to all my problems is further spiritual development. Belief in the power of God plus enough willingness, which we're a little tough on, honesty, another tough one for us, and humility, a really tough one for us, to establish and maintain the new order of things were the essential requirements, not the requirements, the essential requirements. Simple but not easy, a price had to be paid. It meant destruction of self-centeredness. That's a tough one. That's a never-ending one. You know, that's what's. I don't think I share it in this room. I share it a lot, though. I share the same things over and over. I went to a self-help thing called the Forum. It was a. Anybody ever hear of Est? You know, and they brought you in on the weekend. Actually, It's good. It's totally alcoholic. I was dating this really good-looking girl in when I was young, much, much younger, 30 years ago, but in Summit. And I was like, what is this girl doing with me? You know, but I was going to go along for the ride. And she was made a lot of money, and she was... But she would say things that would really kind of... I'd be like, why? How do you see life that way? And she would say, you have to do the forum. You have to do the forum. You have to do the forum. Eventually, she kicked me to the curb. Mm. No big surprise there. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do the forum. You know, it's kind of like my sponsor. I was with him 26 years, never listened. Now that he's gone, I remember everything he said, you know. So once she got rid of me, I went and did the forum. Now, the first thing about the forum is you get there. And you get there at 9 o'clock. And you've had 6 cups of coffee because you're so nervous. And one of the things is you're not allowed to go to the bathroom. Because we're all... That's our thing. Like, I used to come to meetings, get up, go have a cigarette, and come back. We can't sit still. You know, now we can sit and look at our cell phones. That's thanks to Steve. You know. But we used to, we always have to get up and walk around. You see it anyway. So I went to the forum, and it was great. They, you know, break you down, build you up, whatever. But one thing they said that is true, that really is good for AA, is they said the human mind is only capable of thinking of anything other than itself. You can only think about anything other than you for 15 seconds at a clip. And then you go back to, oh, wait, how's my hair look? What am I doing next? What's here? What's there? What's, you know, blah, blah, blah. That you can only... So when we worry about what others think of us, who gives a shit? They can only do it for 15 seconds, right? And then they're back onto themselves. So it can't be that bad. I mean, pay attention to that. Really focus on how long you can think of somebody other than yourself in some form. It's amazing, you know. I don't know how I got on. Oh, self-centeredness, you know. But, it is. Self-centeredness, it's shocking how much all we do is think about ourselves, you know. I must turn all things over to the Father of Light who presides over us all. These were revolutionary and drastic proposals. Not you know, they don't say pretty important, but revolutionary, and I looked these words all up, but I can't remember them. We talked about our brains before the meeting. I wish I had a better one. But the moment I fully accepted them, and here it comes, this is Bill's thing, white light experience, the effect was electric. There was a sense of victory followed by such a peace and serenity as I had never known. And that's all we want, folks, is we want peace and serenity. We think we want, you know, the hot girlfriend, the Corvette, and the big house. That's not what we want. Peace and serenity. There was utter confidence. I felt lifted up as though a great clean wind of a mountaintop blew through and through. God comes to most men gradually. And that was my case. I wish it came quicker. But his impact on me was sudden and profound. For a moment I was alarmed, and I called my friend the doctor and asked if I was still sane. He listened in wonder as I talked, you know. This is Dr. Silkworth. Finally, he shook his head, saying, "Something has happened to you I don't understand, but you had better hang on to it. Anything is better than the way you were." The good doctor now sees many men who have had such experiences, and he knows they are real. So this was after Bill, goes through essentially the steps with Ebby, you know, the tenets of the Oxford group, which later became our 12 steps. He's lying in the bed by himself, and all of a sudden, you know, this is what happens to him. The sense of victory followed by such a peace and serenity as I had never known. There was other kind, you know. And he hadn't gone out and made his amends and done it. He's still in the hospital bed. He gets the concepts of what he is about to, the journey he's about to embark on, but he hasn't actually taken any action. See, that's the thing in AA. We can all come to these big book workshops, and we can all go to 90 and 90, but if we're not taking, you know, we can all go through the steps, but we don't go through, we have to experience the steps. I have to sit across the table from my mother or whoever, face to face, and say, "Mom, I see now what I did to you. You know, I see now, especially when I became a father, you know, I really began to understand the pain I put my parents through. And you know, and that I want to, you know, I want to change, and I want to, you know, be the son that you deserve to have, you know, because you're a great mother to me, and I let you down at every turn. You have to, and then you have to go to someone who tells you, get the hell out of here, you know. We have to experience the steps so that we can then share them with the next person, you know. So he said, and this is really what, this is the game changer here. It says, while I lay in the hospital, the thought came, and this is God, I believe this is God, the thought came that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have what had been so freely given to me. And that's it. We give this freely, you know, as Chris S. says, we do it for fun and we do it for free, you know. And or if you're charging for it, it can't work. And if it works, you can't charge for it. You know, I fully believe that. But freely given to me. But here's the difference between that. You know, this is where Bill Wilson was different. Perhaps I could help some of them, but then they in turn might work with others. And that is the key to this whole thing. And I would like to see it going on more and more in AA than I do today. My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Absolute necessity. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. And I know my first sponsor took me through the steps, and I didn't take anybody through the steps for the next five years. And then those poor guys, the first guys I took through the steps, God bless if they're still alive, you know. I mean, I had no idea. We did it by then by reading a thing that told us where the steps were on the pages, and I gave them my opinion instead of what was in the book, you know. But it's imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said. And that's Ann Smith. And how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, you know, this took a long time to write. Self-sacrifice was not a word they came up with lightly. For others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again, and if he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. With us, it is just like that. Here's what I can tell you. Here's my experience. AA works perfectly. And, you know, I have heard AA works, and it works every time. It, you know, if it's not working for you, you're not taking an action or something. You know, you're not taking a step or the actions, you know, something. But not only do the steps work, but then working with others and sharing the lives of other men and hearing their things and relating it to me and seeing myself in them and trying to... This works perfectly, and it never stops. There's always more. The more you do, the more that it unfolds, and it's amazing. So that is what happened. Now this is what it's like now. My wife and I, and this is, you could say it really starts on the next chapter, but I'll start here. My wife and I abandoned ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. I was fortunate my old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, so I found little work, and that is good for us. I was not too well at the time, and I was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. Bill suffered greatly, 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 greatly from depression, which is prevalent among us. Depression, bipolar, they're very serious things. Being the genius that I was, I didn't take them serious. I didn't understand them. They're very, very serious, and not for us to be helpful with. I was plagued by ways of This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but as soon as I found that when all other measures had failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Many times I've gone to the old hospital in despair. On talking to a man there, I would be amazingly uplifted and set on my feet. It's a design for living that works in rough going. So here's what it's like now. I commenced to make many fast friends, and a fellowship has grown up among us, which is a wonderful thing to feel a part with. And that's true. I've got so many great friends in AA that I would never be friends with because I am extremely closed-minded by nature. And thank God for AA, because now I am friends with all sorts of guys, and I'm so much richer for it. The joy of living we really have, even under pressure and difficulty. I have seen hundreds of families set on their feet in a path that really goes somewhere, and I have seen the most impossible domestic situations righted. You know, I've seen maybe 10, not hundreds, but I've seen 10 domestic situations righted, and it is, you know, it is wonderful. I've seen the most impossible domestic situations righted, feuds and bitternesses of all sorts wiped out. I've seen men come out of rehabs and resume a vital place in their lives of their families and communities, business, and so that, again, you're reading this by yourself somewhere, and they're trying to sell you on this. You know, the business and professional men have regained their standing. There is scarcely, this is important, there is scarcely any form of trouble and misery which has not been overcome among us. If you've got any kind of problem, and if you have cancer, if you have lost a child, if you have whatever it is, there's someone with that shared experience in here that can give you more comfort than I believe anywhere else in the world. You know, that if you let it out here, you will get the help that God wants you to get. I believe that. And I don't think you can get it anywhere else, especially when you're paying for it with these whatever. In one Western city and its environs, there are 1,000 of us and our families. We meet frequently so that the newcomers may find the fellowship they seek. At these informal gatherings, one may often see 50 to 200 persons. We're growing in numbers and power. An alcoholic in his cups, and that means drunk, is an unlovely creature. Our struggles with them are variously strenuous, comic, and tragic, and that's true. One poor chap committed suicide in my home. He could not or would not see our way of life. And in the beginning, Bill and Lois would let five alcoholics live in their house at a time. They would go out, and they would come home, and all five of them would be drunk off their ass, beating the shit out of each other, and breaking the furniture. And they would let them keep going, right? When we do that, if one of you guys spills a drink in my house, you're gone, you know. You know, that's the difference between these people and me. And, I'll say, you guys are, I'm sure, different. And so anyway, they went away for a week, and they got home, and one guy had hung himself in an upstairs bedroom, you know. There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity, but just underneath there is the deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. Most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. We have it right here with us here and now. Each day, my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Mm. And the last thing I'll say is, so when they wrote these chapters, they would send the manuscripts around to, Bill would write them in New York, it'd go to Akron. But one thing they did was they sent it to the church. They sent it to the Catholic Church, or to the church. And the Catholic Church came back because this said, most of us feel we need no look no further for heaven. And the Catholic Church came back and said to Bill, we love your book. We love that you talk about God. But we ask one thing. Can you not say we need to look no further for heaven? Because we need our people to think that they need to be good here on earth And when they die, they get to heaven. So heaven can't be here. And Bill was happy to accommodate him. So better Bill than me. That's all I've got.
Very good.